So I want to invite your attention to Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 3. I'm reading from the New International Version of Holy Scripture. It says, well, the Word of God says, listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. I want to talk briefly today from the thought theme or subject of Jesus, God's servant.
All right.
Isaiah 49, as you well know, is a messianic prophecy about Jesus who will come as man's savior.
Right.
To bear a cross. And as God's servant to wear a crown. Isaiah speaks prophetically about the ministry and mission of the Messiah before he was born. Isaiah writes to Gentiles and those who were not a part of the commonwealth of Israel. God has chosen Jesus to come to this world to be love to those who are hated and who hate. God has chosen Jesus to come to this world to be light to those who are in darkness and in ignorance.
Right.
God has chosen Jesus to come to this world and to be life to those who walk in death. And God has chosen Jesus to come to this earth to be liberty to those who are in bondage. And who are held captive. In short, God has chosen Jesus to come to this world to save those who will put their trust and confidence in him. And those who reject him will be eternally lost.
All right.
God did for the Gentiles what Jesus had initially come to do for the Jews. God prepared Jesus as Messiah for his ministry and mission as he would a sharp sword and a polished arrow. God prepared Jesus as he would a weapon. God did through Jesus what he could not do through Israel. A sword, as you know, an arrow, are weapons. What is God teaching us about Jesus? And perhaps more importantly, what is God telling us about us? Several things, I believe. One, Jesus was predestined from the womb. Read again verse number 1. And verse number 1 tells us that Jesus was sovereignly and supernaturally selected to be our Savior before he was born. It was God who called Jesus, chose Jesus, and commissioned Jesus. And that same God has called us, chosen us and commissioned us.
Right.
Yeah.
God, just as he did Jesus, called and selected us to preach the gospel before we were born. Matthew 1:21, Jeremiah 1:50, Jeremiah 1:5. Secondly, the text is tailored to teach us that Jesus not only was predestined from the womb to be our Savior, but Jesus proclaims the word of God. The text says, he made my mouth sharp like a sword. You do know that the word of God is a sword.
Yeah.
A sword is a knife. A knife cuts.
Uh-huh.
A knife cuts to remove. The word of God is sharp like a sword, and it cuts to remove those things from our life that should not be there in the first place. And it's painful when the word of God cuts on you. I know it is for me. But yet Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And in Ephesians 6:17, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thirdly, not only was Jesus predestined from the womb, not only did Jesus proclaim the word, but Jesus is processed for the work. There are some things God chooses to do with me in the shadow. Look at the verse again. A shadow is formed in the presence of light.
Yeah.
God can do so much with me in the dark. I submit he can do more with me in the dark than he can do with me in the light. I submit that is in those times when I am alone with God in private, that he prepares me to do what he wants to do through me in public. God really works on me in private. And I thank him because I know that his work on me in private is preparation for what he desires to do with me in public. Sometimes I think it's true that we don't like to be obscure or isolated or alone. We like being in the spotlight, on the stage, visible, in the press. And when we become too visible before or while we are being processed, sometimes we become an embarrassment to God. You will remember that God worked on David on the backside of the desert. God worked on Gideon in the wine press. God worked on Joseph in the pit. God spent 80 years getting Moses ready for a 40-year pastorage. He spent 30 years getting Jesus ready for a 3.5-year ministry. God does a lot in obscurity. We want visibility and not obscurity. We want press and not preparation. Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus grew in wisdom, that is mentally, stature, that is physically, and in favor with God, spiritually, and with man, socially. You are here because God desires to send you to a world that hates God and has rejected Jesus Christ.
All right.
And God desires to prepare you like He prepared His Son, Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Well, what did God do to prepare Jesus? God prepared Jesus for spiritual warfare. That's why you hear this seminar. To get prepared to do spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did He do it? Verse 2 tells us. God prepared Jesus like crafting an arrow. The first thing you do if you want to design or build or make an arrow is select the wood. He selects the wood for the arrow. It is acacia wood. Acacia wood is hard, warped, knotty, rough, and crooked. And I submit to you, that's a description of you and I. You and I are that wood that God has selected to make His arrows. We are warped, hard, knotty, misaligned. But God is a skilled craftsman.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what God can do.
All right.
With anything that He has in His hands.
Yeah.
He selects the wood for the arrow. Secondly, He shaves the wood with a knife. He removes the bark, twigs, and knots. Shaving is painful. Has God ever shaved you? He removes the bark because the bark inhibits the oil from penetrating the wood. What is it in your life and in my life that inhibits the Spirit of God
All right.
from penetrating and using us in a powerful and marvelous way? God may have some of us under the knife.
All right.
And it's painful.
Yeah.
But it's productive.
Yeah.
Thirdly, He soaks and saturates the wood in oil. He soaks the wood in oil to soften it and to prevent it from cracking and splitting. He has removed the bark so that the oil can penetrate. You and I need to be soaked and saturated, not in oil, but in the Spirit of the living God. And when we are soaked and saturated in the Spirit of the living God, in the Word of God, we won't walk after the flesh. Fourthly, He shapes it. He places the wood in a vise and applies pressure. Has God put you under pressure? Does He have you in a vise? The good news is that even if you are under pressure or in a vise, you're still in the hand of God. And God knows how much pressure to apply. And He knows how much we can endure or bear. And He will never apply so much pressure as to break us. That's not His design or desire. He simply wants to bend us. To shape us. He places the wood in a vise and applies pressure against the wood to straighten it out. I think everybody would agree that we could use a little straightening out, couldn't we?
All right.
Now, of course, we don't like it, but I'm just saying, you would agree that we could use a little straightening out. I know I need to be straightened out. Because when God does that, It's for my good and my growth, and it's for His glory. And I think everybody in here wants God to get glory. Fifthly, He stands wood in the sun so it can harden. He places me not in the sun, S-U-N, but in the sun, S-O-N, to straighten me out in His Word and through His Spirit. Sixthly, He sends it. The knife has removed the noticeable defects. The sandpaper removes the flaws and the imperfections that you cannot see. God has used His Word and is still using His Word as sandpaper. And all of us in here, I think, if you're honest, could use a little sandpaper. He sands me to smooth me, not to scratch me, but to smooth off my rough edges.
Right.
And be honest with you, and I don't admit this often, but I've got some rough edges.
Right.
And thank God for the sandpaper of His Word.
Yeah.
That smooths me. And then seventhly, He shines it. Now notice the process. He selects the wood, He shaves the wood, He soaks the wood, He shapes the wood, He stands the wood in the sun, He sands it, and He does all of that so He can shine it. And He shines it with a soft cloth, because He does not want to scar it or scratch it. Why does He want to shine it? He wants to shine that wood, and He wants to shine your life and my life until He can see a reflection of Himself in us. Because we are the light of the world, and we are the salt of the earth. And what God wants is for the world to see us, see Him, rather, in us. And then lastly, you would think after He selects it, shaves it, soaks it, shapes it, stands it in the sun, sands it, shines it, you would think that that hour is now ready to be shot. But it is not. Because the text says, He takes this arrow and He makes an arrowhead. Because the stick without the arrowhead is worthless. The arrow needs an arrowhead. So what does He do with the stick? What does He do with the arrow? The text says He hides it in his quiver. And sometimes, while God is making the arrowhead, and arrowheads are made of metal, stone, bone, iron, or some other hard substance, and they are made to do warfare. And while God is making the arrowhead for the arrow, He hides us in His quiver. Why does He do that? Because God knows that you and I are not ready to do the kind of spiritual warfare that we're faced with today. You have been predestined, prepared, and processed to proclaim His Word. You have been called, selected, like the wood for the arrow. But now, God must shave, soak, shape, sand, and then shine you. And when the time comes, he will take us, he will take you, he will take me from his quiver, and like an arrow, use us to do spiritual warfare. You would agree that we are in spiritual warfare. And that Satan is a formidable enemy. And in order for us to defeat this enemy, we must not only be called, but we must be developed in our character. So that when God shoots us like this arrow that's not crooked but straight, we can hit the target. God help us, every single one of us, to hit the target. Bless you.